Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get a notepad, and get a pen if you're able. Call a friend, call a neighbor, because we're going to cover a lot of scripture. And we're going to go take you now into a message already in progress entitled Divine Elements of Change. Let's go now into the Word of God.
And whenever you got a true sent person, that sent person going to have a prophet somewhere confirm what's being heard, because nobody left alone in this thing. And then from them those two gifts, other ministry gifts just going to come into place. That's a true house of God. If you don't have that, there is no divine element of change in that place. So it's foundation of because the household of God is always apostle and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Then in whom the whole building, that whole building is fitly framed together. I promise you, if you don't have these offices, that building is out of frame. Now, a confirming verse, because see, scripture interprets scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see. I got that here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. All right, watch this. Here, scripture interpret scripture. Whenever some preachers say this is what the Bible said, show me scripture. Show me more scripture to validate that and verify that. And if a preacher can't, then don't accept that as truth until they can prove it. Because if they can't prove it by the Bible, that's just their opinion of what the Bible says. So let me confirm what I just taught in the prophet and the apostle. Well, before we read this, Sister Garden, can you find Ephesians 3? And verse 5, read that for me. Y'all listen to this, because I'll give you a lot of scripture. Because these divine elements have to be in place, or there will be no divine change taking place in your life. You can come to church and get emotionally thrilled, but just because you got emotionally enjoyed a service, don't mean the Holy Spirit touched you that day with the change that he had you scheduled for. Now watch these two offices, apostle, prophet. If you lacking these in a church, any church you go to, you ought to ask, where's the apostle and where's the prophet? Who operating in this gift and who's operating this gift? If you can't see that somewhere in that church or see a local church that's connected with that, you need to run. Because that is not God's house. All through the Bible, God's house is built only in one way. Now find a house that's not built biblically, and you'll find a house that God didn't ordain. If you believe the Bible.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Back up and read the verse before that so I can get a complete thought.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Paul said, when you read this letter, you'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ is a mystery. And he got certain gifts set up in the church to unveil the mystery. See? And so, many times when I'm teaching, I'm taking my time teaching, and God's unveiling the mystery, because he don't want it to be a mystery to you, but it is a mystery, because some things you can't understand without these particular gifts that's set up in his house to be a divine element of change. And so Paul said, when you read, just reading it, you may not understand, but Paul said, I'm praying that when you read it, you'll understand my knowledge in this mystery.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Okay, now Paul we know was an apostle. You got to have an apostle first. Paul said, this mystery in other ages was not known. Prophets of the Old Testament didn't know this. All those holy prophets that prophesied the future, the coming of the Lord, even Moses, there were some things was not revealed to them, and it wasn't revealed until God set his house up on the earth, apostle, prophet. Until he set these two gifts in the house, some things about God was never known. Read it now, and that's what he's talking about. Go here.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets.
Revealed to who?
His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Nisha, put that other scripture up. Okay, read it one more time. I'll make a point. Y'all look at me. Look at my little laser light while she read that.
You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known.
Nobody
unto the sons
knew
of men,
none of this. Come on.
As it is now revealed.
It's revealed to?
Unto his holy apostles.
Who?
Apostles.
Come on.
And prophets.
And prophets.
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Why isn't the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher not up there? Because these are the first two gifts that have to be in any house before the mystery of divine change can be realized. So why would God call an evangelist to lead the church? You don't find that nowhere in the Bible. He called an evangelist to win souls. That's why their ministry looks so big and vast, because God will honor the gift. Their gift will their talent and gift will draw a crowd. And because they got a big crowd, they think God's with me. Michael Jackson drew a crowd. James Brown drew a crowd. So just because you got a crowd don't mean God talking through you. If you're an evangelist, note only one is the word evangelist is mentioned three times in the Bible. We're in class today, and I'm just about finished with the class. The word evangelist mentioned three times in the Bible, and there's only one example of an evangelist, and his name was Philip. Philip in Acts chapter 8 went down to the city of Samaria and warned the whole city. And watch this. When he warned the whole city, none of them was born again. None of them. The Bible said that when the apostles came, that the people had just believed. An evangelist can only bring you to believing. What is this man in town teaching? Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. That's the evangelist's gift. He can't take the people no further than believing. So y'all see the gift working, but it only works and stop right here. He can't go no further. They stuck right here. You got to have this right here in place. These two right here got to be in place. Do you know every evangelist need an apostle and prophet? Do you know every teacher need an apostle and prophet? Do you know every pastor? The church is not pastoral. The church is apostolic. Those two gifts. You got the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But these two gifts are the ones. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I just teach it. And I didn't set the church up. I just teach the revelation of how the church is set up. These two gifts right here. The thumb represents the apostle. The finger represents the prophet. The big finger represents the evangelist, because it's the biggest thing up there. Loudest mouth, too. We looking at it. So that's why an apostle God, I'm going to keep my eyes on y'all. I'm going to write you every time you say something stupid. Because they got somebody in this town been sent by God to be a thorn in your flesh, and I don't care how big your ministry is. That's an evangelist. This the pastor. Notice that the ring finger. Pastors are married to the sheep. Now don't get me wrong, apostles are the first shepherds in the church. But then they have others. This man here got a shepherd's heart. If y'all get around him, he'll take what I said and he'll shepherd it down. Now what the problem with most shepherds, he don't have this problem, but I done raised a lot of preachers. The problem I have with most preachers I've raised, when they shepherding, they shepherd all the way down and get you in sin. Oh, you know, apostle don't understand. If you ain't got no apostle, that shepherd ain't worth a nickel. I got one in Texas, Will Brocker. He started to follow. I used to go to Texas, and I didn't know why. We used to have these meetings at IHOP, and I would be confronting things, and I didn't know why. I didn't know he had fell in love with Womack. And I looked him in the eye and said, that gospel ain't of God. That's a false gospel, but he wanted to follow that stuff. Now, I rebuked him. Because shepherds more prone to giving in, you know, because they like to pet. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. It ain't all right if you're going to hell. That's why you got to have apostle and prophet, to keep the shepherds right, to keep the evangelists right, to keep the teachers right. And that's why they don't. And you know, one thing they said the other day that's true. Usually when you got a true, they said this, the ministry, Jimmy Swagger, I ain't scared. They said this. They said usually when it's a true apostle, they believe in apostles and prophets. They didn't used to. They used to teach against them. But now they at least admit when there's a true apostle and a true prophet around, they not in the media. They not obvious. They normally hidden in little small places. Thank you. Go read your email. They said that. I promise you, they judging. They being judged by their own words. and I got my eyes on you. Because this book is what I defend. And you teaching it wrong. I got lost. I feel that the zeal of his house has eaten me up. Jesus had zeal. Y'all hear my zeal when I'm preaching. He said he walked in the temple and they were selling everything. The Bible said his zeal ate him up. He got a whip and whipped them all out the temple. Yes, yes. And right now I'm on these radio stations whipping them out the temple. Why y'all selling the word of God? Your ministry will go bankrupt if you stop selling. Reasons why the cross don't work. Done sold millions. He said this. We done sold millions of copies. And it's $50, $40. And then they got a little line. Slash. We made it affordable. $20. They're going to sell a million more for $20. Just give them the book. Yes, sir. If it's the truth. Yes, sir. It's a joke. Why are you selling it? You don't find it in the Bible. Paul said that here's my joy, that I may make the gospel of no charge. That's what Paul said. So why preachers charging? Take your books and tapes and take them off the shelf. If you don't, you can tell me all you want. Well, we just supporting missions. You lying. Jesus ain't supporting no missions that way, and no, none of those apostles did. In fact, y'all got me started. That's the zeal of his house eating me up. And I'm preaching to thousands now. Y'all just listening. I find not only did the apostles didn't sell the gospel, they cursed those who tried to buy it. When they went down to the city of Samaria and established that church after Philip got through preaching, Simon also believed, and he saw through the laying on the hand of these apostles the Holy Spirit was given to people. Simon said, let me give y'all money. I want this, because he wanted to control the people. Peter said, your money, you're going to die with your money. Not only did they not sell it, they wouldn't allow it to be bought. And that's what I see in the gospel. Evangelist, only one example of an evangelist. And the evangelist went to the city, warned everybody, signs and wonders. He could only bring the people to believe. The apostles had to come and establish the church. It's in your Bible. You got to have first apostles, secondary prophets. If you don't have those two elements, you don't have an agent to change people's lives. Those people will stay stuck in sin the rest of their life with no hope of ever getting out. Here it is right here. And God has set some in the church. In what? Church. You know what a real church is? Right here, set in this order. If you don't see this in that church, or you don't see that church connected with this, that is not an element of change. According to the Bible. Read the Bible. I'm just giving you a few verses. It's all over the Bible. So he said, and God has set some in the church. First, he giving you the order. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, he give you all five. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. Right here, he give you the order of those five. How those five supposed to flow inside of order. And if they get out of order, they're going to have the body confused and out of order. Whenever you got an evangelist trying to lead the whole church and trying to be the man, he going to have people and lives messed up. That evangelist got to be in order. This pastor is a lover of people. Don't mean the apostle don't love people, but the apostle love you so much that he'll get on you to keep you from going to hell. The pastor love you so much that they'll let you sin. And the smallest thing up there is the teacher. This apostle can touch every office because he can function in all five. Notice this prophet can't touch every office easy. Notice neither one of them can touch everyone easy. This right here, it can touch every office easy. You see? God made the body to reveal the truth. The prophet, he can point the way in this truth. My wife can sit, you sit and talk to her, she can unveil and reveal everything that I'm teaching and preaching. When I get a revelation, I come show it to her. Some of the sisters were back there a while ago. When I see stuff in the word, I bring it to her. She see it. If she ever don't see it, I said, let me go back and make sure I heard God. That's safe. Apostle, prophet. That's safe. It's safe for the people. Okay? You know how many people in church don't understand this? God ready to meet with them. They can't meet with God because they ain't being changed. Okay? Secondary prophet, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, governments. Got the bishops. Bishops operating this right here. Bishops way down here. And right now we got bishops running the church. That is out of order. That is out of order. Then the deacons got the nerve to run the church. Hiring five preachers. Now you know that's out of order. how folks going to be changed in that church? Okay, now look at the other one before we get out of this. Go to our last point. Verse 18. Now watch this. But now hath who? Everybody together. Come on, read it. Everybody together. Read that again. One more time. How, if it please you to set a church up and put bishops over that, how are you going to please God when this is what pleased him? When the way he set it up pleased himself. So how are you going to get smarter than God? You're going to set you up a church and now put the bishops over the church, put the evangelist. You're going to make you're an evangelist. You're going to make yourself the head of the church and ain't in submission to the order of God. You just set yourself up in the people's lives, and now you got all of them destined to go to hell. Because God set the members in the church as it pleased him. And we just saw what pleased him. First apostle, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers. So if you see a house, and this is not the order in that house cannot bring divine change. Last point. The third element of change is cooperation with the Heavenly Father in the process. The third point is, the third element of divine change is cooperation with the Heavenly Father in this process. Don't let nobody tell you, since you got it by for free. This definition has deceived more people than a little bit. God's unmerited favor. Now that fit in certain scriptures, but it don't fit in all scriptures. I don't have time to develop that. That definition of grace got more people fooled. Because really, when I went and looked, some of the first things I found, I like what you found, Pastor Apostle. But the first definition I found was grace is God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Now, that can be scripturally proven throughout the whole Bible. But that unmerited favor cannot be proven in all scriptures. And I can prove that to you. Just don't have time. Now, true grace is God, his divine. He want to divinely change people, right? Because he want to get you ready because he wants you to meet him and he ready to meet you. So anytime he meet with you in a service, in your home, in prayer, in Bible study, his spirit divinely influences you. You couldn't read your Bible if he didn't influence you. You wouldn't even desire him if he didn't influence you. It is his divine influence, and that influence rests in your heart. And if you let it and cooperate, it'll reflect in your life. That's grace. Because see, this unmerited favor done went so far until they say, grace is just God's unmerited favor. I didn't do nothing to get it. I can't do nothing to lose it. And I don't have to do nothing to keep it. Now, that definition done went too far. Because God's divine grace on your life don't make you lazy. And you do nothing. And his divine grace don't just cover you while you're sinning and say you're still going to meet God. Really? That's deception. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now Paul was talking in reference to the ministers that was divided and dividing the church. And he said we ministers are laborers together with God. But right here he said you are God's husbandry. And all of us are laborers. You have when you call on Jesus and get saved, you have to now labor, cooperate with the Heavenly Father that he can bring the divine change in your life. If you just set your little lazy self there, not you guys, and when the Spirit come and prompt you to read, but I'm going to watch the days of my life, you're not going to change. He's not going, okay, go on, watch the days of your lives, and I'm going to go and change it. Mm-mm. It's funny, but it's true. And this is important for people to know. You have to cooperate. You have to be a laborer with God. When he influences you, you have, oh, yes, Father, surrender and submit. Okay, let me show you something else. I'm going to do part two on this. Because I'm trying to help those who are not where I am in my walk. But every one of you, if you last, you're going to walk. Watch this. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. Watch this and don't forget this. We're talking about divine elements of change. You're not going to experience change if you don't cooperate with the Father. We are not humanly perfect, but we sure can be godly perfect. Okay? Please keep that in mind, because most folks don't understand perfection. You can be perfect, godly.
Grace and peace be multiplied.
Now listen now. I'm talking about divine. Y'all young people woke? I want y'all looking at me. Cause my eyes on you now. Okay, y'all listen to me. Look at that little lady there. She, I like her. Lex, she like this. Okay, y'all listen to me. Grace, God's divine influence upon your heart that will come to reflect in your life the way you live. People will see you. They'll see your good works. That's what grace really is. This Bible said grace and peace be multiplied. Now, God will come. He come gently and influence you. You just may feel a wood. The minute you cooperate and you hear his word, he multiplies it. Y'all see? See, now watch this. If you don't cooperate when you sense him, he lifts and you'll never get the multiplied.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God.
Notice how it's multiplied. Through what?
The knowledge of God.
What y'all getting now? This ain't regular church. See, sometimes I wonder how they sit here that long. Because apparently you love God. You can't be no church member here and just think you're going to make it. You got to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because the longer you let that word, that knowledge, God can multiply. And the reason some people don't get God's multiplied grace is they ain't got enough time to be taught the knowledge. There it is. Read it again.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
According as his divine power.
Divine power. We talking about divine elements of change. His divine power. Go ahead.
Had given unto us all.
Through the knowledge you're getting of God. His divine power is supplying all things you need. Come on.
That pertain unto life.
Everything you need in life. Come on.
And godliness.
Everything you need to live godly, like the pastor preach, like the apostle preach about. Everything you need to live with not one ounce of sin in your life and thoughts is multiplied through this knowledge, understanding this knowledge. But if you don't cooperate, you don't get this. You got to labor with God. All things, go ahead, finish that.
Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue.
Okay, last two verses. Read Hebrews 4:7. Here it is. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, not tomorrow, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, watch this. Here's how you cooperate with God, saints. If you want to live this straight and narrow, if you want to walk holy without sin, you want to experience this sweet life walk, ain't nothing like it, and you want to be changed into the same image, when you hear God teach you and tell you some, don't harden your heart. Don't go back and do, let me just go do it one more time. Oh, when you do that, the day you hear God teach you how to do something, his divine influence is there. The day you reject it or you decide you want to do it just one more time, his power not there now. Now you're a struggle having to do it now. That's why people struggle. That's why folks struggle. But when he speak, his power is there now, coupled with your obedience. And if you obey, the power keep getting stronger. Keep getting stronger. And then you'll find, man, it's easy. But when you hear him and he teach you something and you decide, well, you know, now you come 10 years later, 2 days later, and you're going to try to do what he said, now you're going to have to do it. Because his anointing was there when he spoke. That's why he said, don't harden your heart when you hear him. And if you don't, his influence. Then it's God in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His power is there the day you hear him to help you. But when you disobey, you're going to struggle. Okay, Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the grace of God. And you didn't work for it. But when you get it, you got to work with him. You got to cooperate now. And so that line definition just took us too far. And then caused you to lose God's grace. And not unturn God's grace into lasciviousness. Or you can sin all you want. Creflo Dollars teaching all around the country. Your sin don't matter. Your sin won't affect your relationship with God. Sin send you to hell, brother. Teaching that lying gospel. The grace of God lifts. And now when the grace of God lifts, the devil send you a false grace. He got a duplicate for everything God's got. And it just tells you it's a grace revolution. We are forgiven past, present, and future. When you get saved, all your past sins are forgiven. There is really no promise about your present and future sins unless God grants you repentance. God have to grant you repentance, present and future. I'm not saying he won't forgive you, but the Bible says if perhaps he grants you repentance through the acknowledgement of the truth. That don't sound like you can just up and repent and they're all forgiven. 2 Timothy 2. And then this man of God said in Acts, there's a verse that said, once you done repented, then the refreshing have to come from the presence of the Father. And if God don't refresh you, you're still in your sin. So how is past, present, and future? Lying doctrines in the church that the word don't agree with. It says the Holy Ghost, whom God, what? The day you hear him, if you smart, obey him. And when he do, the grace gets stronger, stronger, and stronger. You read this one in your spare time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 3. He said that when we see him, we shall be like him. Why? Because he got us all on a program. He wants you to come into his presence. He wants you to live with him forever. But flesh and blood cannot. And the Bible said if we stay in this program, we stay in the faith, in salvation. You being changed into the same image. You're gonna look. Bible said when we see him, we gonna look like him. The most beautiful being ever laid eyes on, and we gonna look like him. Isn't that hope? Oh, glory to God. But if you read all those scriptures, it says that whoever have this hope to be like him, purify themselves. That means you do something. How is this gospel that say you don't do nothing now? That ain't no gospel, saints. That's a lie Satan sold to the church for many years until he could find somebody to say, I don't care who's preaching it. It's wrong.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time, so we're going to have to come to a close. But I want to give you our website that you can go to at any time you like for more free teaching. The website is www.someonecaresministry.com. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. And you'll find that there's never a charge on our teaching. If you want to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.